Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 21st, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, building your perfect workflow. Building your perfect workflow. Welcome back to another edition of The Digital Story. I just came from a workshop today teaching on workflow, and I thought, wow, well, I'm, you know, so up to speed on this topic that I should probably do a show on it today too. So that's what we're going to talk about. You know, workflow is one of those things that you need to revisit every year or so, because quite frankly, the tools change, the opportunities change, and it's a good time for us to look at our workflow to make sure, A, that it's as efficient as possible, but also B, that we're enjoying it, because the more you enjoy working with your photos on the computer, the more good stuff you're going to do with them, and the more tedious it is, probably the less of the stuff that you need to do, you're going to do. So having a workflow that is perfect for you is very important for you to make sure that you do things such as photo rating and keywording, and making sure that your IPTC data is up to snuff, such as copyright and caption and stuff like that. So if that's not hard to do, if it's enjoyable, if it just becomes part of your overall enjoyment of photography on your computer, it's going to happen. Otherwise, it could be just downright painful. So what I'm going to do today is cover the main steps, the key steps in the workflow that I recommend, and talk a little bit about them in particular. Lots of things have happened over the last year or so, and we have new tools and so forth. Photography, in my estimation, has gotten better recently. And so what I want to do is just kind of let's go straight from acquire all the way to output and talk about some of the steps along the way. Now, I have some good news for you. I have some worksheets and so forth that you can download. If you go to the show notes for this podcast, I'll have the key workflow steps there, and then I'll also have a worksheet to help you kind of scratch out your workflow and some other information. So I have some handouts for today's class, and all you have to do is go to the show notes for this podcast, and you can grab those PDFs, and that'll help you as you refine your workflow. Let's start with capture. This has become a lot easier than it was a few years ago. You know, before, if you wanted to capture in RAW instead of JPEG, you really had to be prepared to, you know, work with a various pieces of software and kind of knit together a workflow on the back end. Now, using RAW is just as easy as JPEG if you're using applications such as Aperture, such as Adobe Lightroom, such as iPhoto. You can shoot RAW and work with RAW as if they were JPEGs. The only real difference now is it comes down to a couple things when you're sort of deciding between RAW and JPEG. One is RAW files are bigger. If you have, for instance, an 8-megapixel camera, a high-quality JPEG will probably be about 1.3 megabytes, and a RAW file of the same photo will probably be about 8 megabytes. So those do add up, and they do take up additional hard disk space, and it's one of the things that you have to think about when you're thinking about how you're going to capture your images and how you're going to manage your workflow. Now, one of the things that this has led me to, I love to shoot in RAW almost all of the time with my digital SLR. And of course, I shoot JPEGs with my compact camera because that's all it can use. But I'm buying more hard drives these days. And so, you know, I'm trying to work out the best plan possible for additional hard disk space. And that has become a big ramification of shooting with RAW. But you know what? The trade-off for me is worth it, because RAW files, there's just more dynamic range in them. I have more options in post-processing, and I just like the look of the shots, and I like working with them in Lightroom and Aperture and iPhoto. So for me, RAW is the way to go. But again, you need to look at your workflow, make sure that you have tools that handle RAW easily, and make sure that you have enough hard disk space to deal with those big files. Next, you have to transfer the images from your camera to your computer. One of the things that surprised me a little bit in class today was that how few people are using card readers to transfer data and are still connecting their camera to their computer. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with using your camera to upload pictures, but you know there are a couple things to keep in mind. One, that card readers, especially a good FireWire card reader or a USB 2 card reader, is going to transfer your image data faster. It's going to take less time to upload. And if you're shooting RAW, you know this is something worth noting. The other thing is I tend to have fewer problems. You know, with a camera, the camera is on. There's a possibility you could push a wrong button or something could go awry during the uploading process. With a card reader, put the memory card in the card reader and connect the card reader to the computer, and that's all there is to it. It just goes from there. And the third is, of course, you're not using your camera's batteries when you use a card reader as you are when you're uploading from your camera. So generally speaking, I think card readers, they're very affordable. You can get USB 2 ones very cheap, and you can get FireWire ones fairly reasonable, usually around $20 to $30. I think they're a good investment, and for me, their efficiency and also just the things not going wrong aspect to them make them worthwhile. So I recommended card readers to everyone in class, and I think a lot of people will probably be going out and getting some of those this week. Next, there's a little matter of metadata. And this was the thing that a lot of people they didn't understand. They had a lot of questions around it. The whole metadata aspect of workflow really was confusing to a lot of folks. So, as far as I'm concerned, there are two basic types of metadata. There's EXIF data, EXIF data, and that's the information that your camera writes to the memory card when you take the picture. Things such as aperture, shutter speed, ISO setting, file size, file dimensions, all that kind of nuts and bolts stuff. That's EXIF metadata, and your camera writes that to the file during capture. So that's already there. You don't need to worry about it. The main thing with EXIF metadata is just to make sure you don't accidentally erase it. And usually the only way you can do that these days is use the Save for Web option in Photoshop. That'll wipe out most of your metadata. I tend to recommend that you stay away from that because it's good to have as much metadata as you can stay with the image through all of its various uses. The other basic type of metadata is IPTC, and this is metadata that you can add to the image. Things such as, author name, caption, keywording, copyright information, contact information, all that good stuff. That's IPTC metadata, and I really think it's important that you have all of that information with any photo that you release out into the wild. And what I mean by that, a photo that gets emailed, a photo that you put on a website, any photo that you release off your computer should have complete IPTC data complete, so that if someone finds this photo, someone runs across it on a website or something, then they can track you down. Because the way that a lot of licensing works these days, and I've talked about this in an earlier podcast, and there's a lot of dust in the air. We still don't know how things are going to settle out. But basically, if your photo doesn't have any contact information with it and people can't track it down, there's a possibility that they will go ahead and use it for commercial purposes, and you may or may not get credit or any money for the use of your photo. And you never know you know, how a photo is going to be received out there and what photos suddenly, you know, may be of interest to a big company to use for an advertising campaign or a poster or whatever. So it's very important that when you release photos out into the wild, that it has, you know, your metadata in there so that people can find you if they like your photo to either get permission to use it or if it's going to be for commercial use, you know, to make sure that you're properly reimbursed. I also include keywording under the broad category of metadata because it is information that you can also add to the photo that follows the photo around and that's searchable so that applications such as Lightroom and Aperture and so forth can, you know, search by the metadata, search by the keywords and help you find photos, you know, especially among thousands and thousands of photos in your collection, you know, that are specific to a keyword such as blue sky, such as clouds, such as summer day, whatever you use for your keywording. But keywords are very useful, especially as your library gets bigger. Now, one of the things that I talked about today that I think is really important is that the easier that metadata management is, the more it will get done. And one of the reasons why I really like Adobe's Lightroom and I really like Apple's Aperture is because they allow you to add metadata while you upload your photos. So, you know, once you've uploaded your photos and they're on the computer, what you really want to do is play with them. What you really want to do is look at them, find the best ones, all that kind of stuff. What most people don't want to do is add keywords, is add copyright information, you know, all that kind of stuff. That is you know, tedious work, and it's not what you want to do. And then if you don't do it right away, then chances are you're not going to do it 3 months from now because you've already uploaded thousands more photos. And, you know, at some point you just go, oh, what the heck? You know, I haven't done any so far. Why would I start now? So the thing about Aperture and the thing about Lightroom that I like so much is that you can add that information when you upload. You can choose templates that add all of your IPTC data that you need, your copyright information, your contact information, all that stuff can be added automatically during upload. You can also add basic keywords during upload. And this is really useful. Even though you may have different types of shots within a shoot, there's usually some basic things, such as the location, such as the theme of the day, things of that nature. So a lot of times I found that on upload, I can come up with two or three keywords that apply to all of the images. Now, after they're already in my application, I can go back and add more keywords to specific shots if I want. But if I don't do that, if I never get around to doing it, at least I have two or three keywords for every shot, even if I never go back and do anything again after upload. And I just think this is so very important. In both Aperture and Lightroom, I think this is two of their strongest features, is the ability for you to add your copyright information and your metadata and your keywords and all that stuff up front so that once your photos are in your library, you can get to photo editing, you know, which is picking the best ones, and not worry about the tedium of adding metadata information. Speaking of photo editing, this is another area where people, they just weren't doing it. And what I mean by photo editing is going through the photos in your shoot, identifying the best ones and, you know, marking them. Most of us use the star system so that you give your really great shots 4 or 5 stars. You know, your pretty good shots 3 stars. And then, you know, in my case, if it's not 3 stars, then I don't give it any rating at all and just let them go to the bottom of the heap there. But I do like to go through and find especially my 4 and 5 star shots from a shoot. And then I sort that shoot by the rating. You know, it usually comes in sorted by image date, but then I like to sort it by rating so that I have my 5 and 4 stars shots at the top of the collection, and let everything else hang down below it. This is important for a couple reasons. One, later on, if you need to come back to the shoot to maybe make a print or send a picture to someone or whatever, you don't want to have to go all the way back through the shoot to find the best shots in it. You want to know right away. Chances are, under those circumstances, you won't have a lot of time. Someone's asking you to do something, or you've decided you need to make a print or put it on a web page or something. So it's really convenient knowing what your best shots are, having already gone through and done your photo editing. And right after you upload your images is the best time to photo edit, because you want to look at them anyway. So if you're looking at them, why not just give them a star rating as you're going from image to image? It really doesn't take any more time, and it can save you a ton of time later on up the road. Now, the other thing about photo editing that I think is really important is that you should only do image editing, and that's the part, you know, where you're actually doing something to the pixels. That's your, you know, exposure adjustment and your white balance and all that kind of stuff. You should only be spending time image editing your best work. Your best work. You should only be image editing the shots that you're actually going to use. And what happens is, a lot of times if people, they don't do photo editing, they end up playing around with a bunch of shots. Some of them they use, some of them they don't. They forget which shots are the really good ones, and then they end up playing around with them some more. So decide early on what your best shots are, and then those should be the only shots that you do image editing on. Perfect them, have them ready to go, and move on to the next thing. I'm finding, because the image editing tools are so good in Lightroom and so good in Aperture, and in the latest version of iPhoto that came in iLife 08, they're also vastly improved there, and the tools in the adjust pane are also excellent. I'm finding that I can do most of the basic image editing I need to do right there in those applications, and I don't have to send the file out to Photoshop for localized edits. In fact, the only time I ever send a file out from Lightroom or Aperture or iPhoto is when I need to work on a particular area, need to, you know, to highlight something and, you know, work on a little tractor wheel or some specific area of the shot. But if I don't need to do that, if all I need to do is adjust exposure and contrast and white balance, maybe bump up the reds a little bit, maybe darken the blues a little bit, things like that, even touch up a dust spot or something, I can do all of that in Aperture and Lightroom, and I can do most of that really well in iPhoto too, and then I don't have to round trip and go to an outside image editor. Now, of course, the better you do at capture, the easier, you know, your workflow becomes when you're doing image editing. If you capture good shots, then chances are you won't have to do very much to them later on in the image editing step of your workflow. So remember, good capture is important to having an efficient workflow too. The next step is sharing or output. And now you've done all this work on your images, you've uploaded them, you've found the best shots, you've, you know, rated them so that you can highlight them, you've done a little bit of touch-up on them. Now you want to share them with the world. And, you know, there's web work, and of course, you know, with the digital story, being digital story members, that means it's a possible grab shot. It might be an entry in the photo assignment. And of course, we have the Digital Story public group on Flickr, where you can upload up to 5 photos a week and share them with folks. And then, of course, you have your own personal websites and so forth. But I really encourage you to share your work with other people so that you can get feedback on it, so you can see how it compares to what other folks are doing. I think it's a very important part of the process for getting better. Now, I also like slideshows these days, too, and I think slideshows are looking a lot better than they used to because the tools are better. And the main thing to keep in mind if you're going to output the slideshow is, don't make it too long. Try to keep it to between 2 and 4 minutes if you can. Do try to add some sort of audio to it, whether it be voiceover or music or both. And then only use your best shots. Only use the really good work. So if you keep it short, use good work and add some audio. You can use Aperture. You can use iPhoto. You can use Lightroom. You can even use Photoshop Elements and then a lot of third-party apps. One of them, of course, that we like here at the Digital Story is Photomagico for Mac users, which is terrific slideshow software. You can use these different types of software to put together slideshows. And again, they can be saved to DVD, and people can play them on set-top players. You can put them on your website. You have lots of options, but a well-crafted slideshow is a thing of beauty. And people will watch them and be engaged by them if you don't make them too long and if you use good imagery putting them together. And then, of course, there's always printing. And I'm a big fan of printing. I think for good photos, you know, the photos that are important to you, you won't really know what kind of photo you have until you make a print of it. There's something about printing it out on paper and looking at it under different types of light and handing it to somebody that really helps you evaluate how good of a shot you have. So the stuff that you think is important that you've captured, make some prints, get it in other people's hands. They will have different reactions to prints than they do online stuff. And a lot of times they'll take it more seriously. They'll look at it a little bit closer. You'll be able to gauge their physical reaction, you know, their body language and things like that. And you can also put it up on the wall and you can live with it for a while. I know sometimes it takes me 3 or 4 a week to decide how I feel about a print. And, you know, the part of that process really helps you get to know it and decide if you've got something here that's, you know, really worth keeping and showing to others and possibly entering in the contests and publishing and so forth. So all three types of output, web and print and slideshow, they serve different needs. But if you have a good workflow, it's very easy to prepare your work and then just output it to these different media. And finally, there's archiving, and archiving is so very important. You need to have more than one copy of your work, you know, on one computer hard drive. You need to have it on multiple hard drives, backup drives, or on DVD, or somewhere else. Now, one of the things that I think Lightroom does a good job of is it allows you to hook up an external hard drive to your computer, and during the actual import process, it will back up your original photos onto a separate drive at the same time it's importing them onto your computer. And I think that's really nice. Again, all that stuff that you can do, you know, painlessly, you know, so that you're not thinking about it means that it will happen every time. On the Aperture side, I really like the Vault a lot. I think the Vault is fantastic. And what that is incremental backup for your Aperture library. It identifies the new files that you've uploaded since the last time you backed up to the Vault, any new metadata you've added, any new versions and previews, and it only backs up the stuff that's new or changed and ignores the other stuff. And so it usually happens fairly quickly, and it's very efficient. And I have Vaults in a couple different locations backing up my Aperture library, and it's a system I'm a big fan of. So again, you know, these are strong arguments for these managed applications such as Aperture, such as Lightroom. iPhoto does give you a DVD backup option where it allows you to burn a DVD of your iPhoto library, and it works fairly well, especially if you're shooting JPEGs that aren't too big. But the thing that I recommend to most people is hook up an external hard drive or put a DVD in your drive if your Aperture or if your iPhoto library isn't too big, and just go into the pictures folder, find your iPhoto library, and just drag it on to an external hard drive and just copy it. And then, you know, later on, maybe another week, do that again and replace it. It's not as efficient as Aperture's Vault because you're basically copying the whole library over and over again, but it is complete and it does have everything within that iPhoto library structure. So it's not fast, but it is thorough. And I like it a little bit better doing something like that than I do burning DVDs of the iPhoto library, where you end up with a whole bunch of DVDs in a kind of an iPhoto sort of structure. I like copying the iPhoto library folder onto external drives. I just think it's a little bit better way to go. So, you know, regardless of you know, which system you're using, just make sure that you take advantage of the opportunities that provide you for backup. And backup is something that you have to do all the time, not just when you feel like it. It's got to be regular. It's got to be a habit for it to be efficient. So those are my key workflow steps, and I will publish them in the show notes, and I'll even give you a little workflow worksheet so you can just sort of scratch things out and identify any gaps that you might have in your workflow. There's some great tools out now. There's a new version of iPhoto that's very nice. Lightroom and Aperture are both coming along very nicely. These are all applications that I recommend to help you manage your photo workflow. If you download the worksheet and you see that you have gaps in your workflow, such as you're not entering any metadata or you're not backing up, you need to find a way to address those, either by upgrading your software or by finding a way to use your existing software to meet those needs. But try to fill in all the gaps in your workflow so that you have a thorough and professional collection of images that you can find that are rated, that don't take a lot of time to maintain and that are backed up. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. First thing up, I posted the July photo assignment pattern. It's on the site. You got to check it out. It's just absolutely beautiful. I thought that everyone did a very good job of being creative. We saw a lot of patterns that had a little something to interrupt them. We saw nature's patterns identified and composed nicely. I saw a lot of good work. So I just really, you know, appreciate, you know, those of you that do submit the photo assignments. I know they're a lot of work, but I think they're a good exercise in doing them. But I also think it benefits other people to think about these topics and then look at the different ways that you interpret them. So, you know, it was definitely a home run, and I'm very happy with the gallery. This month's photo assignment for August is intersection, and I think there's lots of possibilities with this. This is a chance to do something a little bit more graphical, you know, a little bit more linear, you know, work with some of the man-made elements out there. So end of the month is the deadline for intersection, and get your photos in. Also, don't forget about grab shots, and don't forget about our public group on Flickr. That group is growing. We're going to be knocking on the door of 400 members here pretty soon. Participate in the discussions. And remember, if you have some time, you know, take a look at the photos where people have added the critique tag and be sure to give them some feedback, because if they added the critique tag, then that's what they're looking for. I want to thank our sponsors, Boinks Software, who makes Photo Magico. We talked a little bit about it in today's show. It's fabulous slideshow software for the Mac. And I also want to thank ExpoDisc, and they're the folks that help you capture accurate white balance when you take your photos, which, of course, saves you some work on the back end when you're doing your workflow. All right, so take a look at your workflow, maybe download a few of those PDFs I have on the site, identify the gaps, fill them, and then get back to taking pictures. And I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.